Glory to God. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Family Church, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series called Faith's Secret Weapon to Taking New Territory, and we've been on it for a little while. And we talked about the praise cure. We talked about how to respond to frustration. We talked about expressions of joy. So we talked about to shout. We talked about laughter. And what else did we talk about? We talked about being filled with the Spirit, what that looks like. And then we talked about rejoicing. We focused some time on rejoicing and the results of rejoicing and how reaping has to do with reaping is part of rejoicing. And so we talked about that, and then we started talking about praise. And then last week we started talking about praise, and we started talking about this phrase, to prepare him a habitation. Let's go ahead and just read Hebrews 13:15 first. Just, it's kind of our theme scripture for this portion of this series, this portion on praise. Hebrews 13:15 says, "For by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So, this phrase, to build him a habitation, is used in Haggai chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord, through the prophet Haggai, said, He began to speak and confront the people who had they had come back to Jerusalem, and they were supposed to be building the temple, and they had built the wall, and they were supposed to be building the temple, but things got a little slowed down. There's a little bit of a hiccup, and so they kind of got used to doing nothing. Right? Sometimes if you're running and you're going to do something and all of a sudden there's a hiccup, there's a something that slows you down. For example, you're working out. You're working out, you know you want to get working out, and then all of a sudden you get a cold. And all of a sudden you're kind of, you know, relaxing and taking it easy for a week or two, and then all of a sudden you're still kind of weak, and it's like, well, I don't want to go, you know, work out again, and it's 3 weeks, and you, all of a sudden you get backed up. And you got to kind of motivate and get yourself back into it again, right? This is kind of where they were. They were at this place where they got comfortable not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They kind of forgot what they were supposed to be doing, and so the prophet said, "Listen, I've heard that it's been said it's not time to build the temple. It's not time." And he says, yet, is it time for you to invest and do all this work on your house when the Lord's house is in ruins? It's depopulated and in ruins. He says, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. He says it twice in two verses. Consider your ways. And I like the Amplified because it says, consider your ways and how you fared. In other words, consider your ways and the results it's produced, right? This is what you're thinking, so how's that working for you? You know, what's it producing? What's that thinking and that those actions, how are they helping you? What kind of results are you getting? He said, consider your ways and the results you're getting. He says it twice. Then he says, here's the answer. He says, build the house. God says, build the house. Why? So to, because it'll please me and it'll glorify me and I can manifest my glory. And so I took this phrase to do what? To build him a habitation. To build him a habitation. It's important for us. If things don't seem to be working, or if things don't seem to be happening, or if things seem to be slowed down, or you know, we're putting in this effort, but it doesn't seem like the results are coming the way they're supposed to be coming. He says, here's what you do. Build me a habitation. Build me a habitation. And it'll please me. It'll bring glory to me. And God says, I'll be able to manifest my glory. And so this phrase, so he says, so Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 uses this phrase. In the King James Version, matter of fact, it literally uses this phrase, build him a habitation. Build him a habitation. And this phrase is the Hebrew word navah. The Hebrew word navah means to rest as at home, beauty, celebrate with praise. So if you read it in the New King James and read it in other translations, it'll say to praise him, to praise him. Yet the King James says build him a habitation. Why? Because it's the same word. Build him a habitation. What does that mean? It means prepare and build a place for him to rest as if at home. Build him a habitation so he can come and show up and he can just kind of rest and relax as if he was at home. How do we do that? By celebrating him with praise. Celebrating him with praise. How do we build him a habitation? It's our praise. And so Psalm 22 verse 3 says God inhabits the praises of his people. And we talked about that last week. And so today, let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. So I think we went through four different Hebrew words for the word praise, talking about praise last week. And we're going to get into some more today. And actually, some of the ones we went through last week are actually used some more. They're actually used multiple times throughout the Psalms. So we'll touch on them again. But Psalm 100 is basically, it says Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. And now that Hebrew word praise is the word tauda. And the word tauda means thanksgiving, adoration, sacrifice of praise, and an extension of the hand. So it's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a psalm of adoration to our God. And this psalm is, I like this psalm because it's actually a progression. It shows us the progression of praise. And then we're going to get into another psalm, which actually is very similar and does the same thing. So we're going to go through the progression of praise. Generally speaking, our praise and worship goes through this progression. This is kind of the progression that we can do at home. This is kind of how praise progresses, the steps. Psalm 100. It says, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Which is not long, it's five verses. And then we're going to kind of dissect it and open it up, all right? So it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. So let's go ahead and begin to open this up. Starting verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. This word, joyful noise, is the Hebrew word ruah. Ruah, and it means to make a joyful noise. It means split the ears with sound. So this is not just some quiet whisper, a silent praise in my heart. No. This is a joyful noise, literally. It's a loud noise. It's a shout for alarm or a shout for joy. It's a shout for alarm or a shout for joy. Now, it's not because we're alarmed, but because it also means this, to sound the alarm. To sound the alarm. So we set our alarm in the morning. Why? Not to scare us, but to wake us up. Right? It's for our benefit. But now we are going to sound the alarm. What are we doing? We're sounding the alarm to let the devil know he's in trouble. Sound the alarm. We shout for joy because we're excited about God and what his word says and his great and precious promises. But we also shout for an alarm. We sound the alarm because we're letting the devil know. You are exposed. You are defeated. We're not, you know, we know what you're doing. See, so let's keep your finger here. Because it also means to destroy. Ruah means to destroy. Philippians 1:28. So keep your finger there, but we'll quickly jump to Philippians 1:28. Because next week we're going to be talking about the weapon of praise. So I don't want to get into it today, but we are going to, I'm not going to have enough time probably next week to put this one there. So we're, this one I'm going to just touch on here, and I want us to read this. Philippians 1:28 says this, "And in nothing be terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." So in other words, he says, we are not to be terrified, we are not to be afraid. Because if we are afraid, it's a sign to the enemy that he's won. But he says here, in nothing be terrified by your adversaries. Don't let the devil scare you. Don't let the situation and circumstance terrify and scare you. And if you're not afraid, if we refuse to give place to fear, it says here that this is an evident token. Now, the word token means sign. It's an evident sign to the enemy of perdition. And the word perdition just means destruction. But it's also an evident sign to us of salvation, of deliverance, freedom, healing, prosperity, victory, victory, victory. Amen? And that of God. Our victory is of God. So, we see here that this shout of joy, this joyful noise, this shout of alarm brings destruction to the enemy and his work. And we've already talked about shout. As an expression of joy, we talked about shout already and how the walls came down and multiple different things that the shout brought. It brought destruction to the kingdom of the devil. It brought destruction to the enemy. So, this is the first word. Listen, just verse 1. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Shout for joy. Shout for joy. Glory to God. Make a joyful noise, an ear-splitting shout, and a shout that brings destruction to the enemy in his plans and his strategies. Hallelujah. And it also means to triumph. It's a shout that brings victory. A shout that brings victory. Amen? So this is just verse 1. Verse 1. Verse 2. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord. Now, that means a worshiper. To serve or to worship the Lord. To serve or worship the Lord with gladness. Now, the word gladness, it means to be exceedingly glad, joyful, and rejoicing. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Come before his presence with singing. The word come means to get or to enter. Come or get into his presence or enter into his presence with singing. With singing. And the word singing also means a shout for joy. It means joyful singing. It is singing, joyful voice, a shout for joy. Hallelujah. Do you understand that our praise, it's not just quiet. Hallelujah. Praise ought to be. Praise. See, when it's quiet, it means that we've disengaged. We've disengaged. But a shout for joy, a shout for victory, a shout of alarm, a joyful shout, singing a shout of joy, singing a joyful voice, this lets us know we're engaged, spirit, soul, and body, right? We're responding from our spirit, that's who we are. We're responding from our soul, which is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. See, so our emotions are involved. And our body. We're going to talk about our body, but this part of the body is our using our vocal cords. Hallelujah. Just raising the volume. Just raising the volume, okay? Now, it doesn't have to be super loud. There's no use in getting hoarse in an hour. I've done that before. You yell too much and all of a sudden you can't talk for a week. That's not what it's talking about. It's just, but what we're raising the volume. Hallelujah. Because we're excited about Him. We're praising Him. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, this exceeding joy and pleasure in this rejoicing. Come, enter, get into His presence with singing, a shout of joy and joyful singing. Verse 3, no. We need to do this knowing something. Know that the Lord, He is God. Know that the Lord, He is God. Now, this word know means this. This Hebrew word know means to ascertain by seeing. It means to be aware and answer. In other words, we know this because this is the answer. We know this because this is like an experiential knowing. We've ascertained this by seeing. Right? We've ascertained this by seeing. In other words, we've watched and we've experienced. We know this because we've actually seen it happen. We've experienced it happening. We've watched it. And so we know this because we've actually seen it. We're very aware of what's going on because we've seen it happen before and we've seen it happen again. And it always happens this way. Know this. Know this, that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is God. We did not make ourselves. He made us, and we are His. We're His. We're His. Hallelujah. We're His, and He's taking care of us. We are His and the sheep of His pasture. He's our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. He's taking care of us. He's watching over us. And I like when we had our healing month in October. One of my messages was Avenger. He's our Avenger. We think Hollywood just has Avenger. No. Avenger is long time before Hollywood. Avenger. He's our defender. He's our protector. He's the one taking care of us. He's our Avenger. He avenges us. He said, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. Justice. He loves justice. He likes setting things right, putting things right, making things right. That's part of righteousness. He does what's right. Justice. Hallelujah. So, He is our avenger. We are the sheep of His pasture. And as His sheep, Jesus said this. He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." We're His sheep. We hear His voice, and we follow Him. Amen. If you're having trouble hearing His voice, it's time to begin to declare that. Jesus said, "He's my shepherd." He said, "My sheep hear My voice. I'm one of your sheep. I hear your voice and I follow you. I hear your voice and I follow you. I thank you. I hear your voice and I follow you." Verse 4, now we kind of get into a little more. There's actually a whole bunch of words in verse 4. And so there's this progression is really revealed in verse 4. It says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." So gate, the word gates means opening or door, opening or door. And so we can use the word gate, you know, because if I've been invited over to your house or you've been invited over to our house for a barbecue, you would probably enter into the gate to get into the yard. All right, so we've got this picture. We enter into the gate. We enter into the gate. So this is kind of the first step of getting in. This is the first step of access, entering into the gate. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And with this word thanksgiving is the Hebrew word tauda. Tauda. And it means thanksgiving. It means adoration. It means a sacrifice of praise. You know what a sacrifice of praise is? It's the kind of praise that you don't feel like doing, but you do it anyways. The sacrifice of praise. You might feel like doing something else. You might feel like crying. You might feel like yelling. You might feel like arguing. You might feel like just, you know, doing nothing. Just curl up and cry, you know. But this is a sacrifice of praise, which means we make ourselves do it. Tauda, thanksgiving, adoration, the sacrifice of praise, an extension of the hand. Now, we talked about yada last week, but this is an extension of the hand. This extension of the hand. Extension of the hand. Raised hands. Raised hands. We're going to find out that this raised hand actually is part of every step. Part of every step of this progression of praise. So, tauda, thanksgiving, adoration, the sacrifice of praise, and an extension of the hand. See, the devil, here, the devil has a counterfeit, and we can really see it very obviously when it comes to when it came to Hitler. Right? There was this extension of the hand to worship him, an extension of the hand. The devil can't invent anything. The devil can't come up with anything. He just twists everything God invented. That's all he can do is just twist things. He can take something and he literally removes God from it. But God is the one who invented the extension of the hand to worship and to praise him. Hallelujah. So tauda, enter into his gates with what? With tauda, this thanksgiving and adoration, the sacrifice of praise and the extension of our hands. Okay? And into his courts. Now, we've entered through the gate. Now he says we get to enter into the courts. And the word courts means yard or personal property. So we enter into the gates with thanksgiving, and now we're beginning to enter into the yard, the personal space. So this is not just like outside, just entering the opening, the gate, but now we're inside. We're in the personal property. We're entering into the yard. This is where closeness and fellowship and intimacy can now happen. It doesn't happen at the gate. It happens in the yard. That's where the fellowship and the enjoyment of togetherness happens, in the yard. Amen? In the courts. So we've entered into the gate now. He says, come into his courts and into his courts with praise. So enter. Enter into the gates. Once again, that's the exact same word that's in verse 2, come into his presence. Get, enter, come. Come into his gates. Enter into his gates. Get into the gates. Why? So we can also get and enter into the yard, his courts. How do we do that? How do we enter into his courts? How do we enter into the yard? With praise. What kind of praise? Well, this is Tehillah. And Tehillah is what we talked about last week. Tehillah praise is the word laudation. Laudation just means the act of praise and eulogy. The act of praise. But it comes from a root word, which lets us a little bit more about what kind of laudation, you know, a eulogy. I'll tell you what. This is not just like a funeral eulogy. This is something different, because the root word means to be clear. It means to shine. It means to make a boast of, or to make a show, and to boast. You know, so if you're doing, it means clamorously foolish. And clamorously means this. It means loud attention getting. Clamorously foolish. It means to rave, which is a party. It means celebrate and glory. So this is the kind of eulogy. This is the kind of act of praising. You know, if someone won an award, and someone was an MC person was kind of going through their list of accomplishments and praising and glorifying this person and about all their accomplishments, and they were throwing a celebration party because of this event and so on. This is what it's talking about. Loud and attention getting, this act of praise and eulogy, speaking good words about. This is what Tehillah is all about. This is how we enter into his yard. We begin to praise him. We begin to glorify him. We begin to shine and make a show of him. And we begin to boast about him and who he is and what he's done and what he can do, his accomplishments. We're clamorously foolish. We're loud and attention-getting about how great and wonderful he is, how faithful he is. It's rave. It's a party. It's a celebration. Because of who he is. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's about all about him glorifying Jesus. Hallelujah. So know this, that the Lord, he is God. He made us. We're not our own. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so let's enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his court or his yard with Tehillah praise. And then the next thing is to be thankful. Be thankful. And the word thankful is the Hebrew word yada. And that we talked about that last week. Yad means hand. Hand extended. So once again, it is a lifting of our hands. Yod, hand extended. Thanksgiving. So why are we lifting our hands? Because we're thanking him. We're lifting our hands because we are thankful to him. Yada praise. So we've entered into his yard with this Tehillah praise. We're boasting and rejoicing and celebrating him. And we lift up our hands and we're thankful for all that he's done and who he is. Be thankful unto him. And the end of verse 4, bless his name. The word bless is the word barak. We talked about that last week also. It means to bless God. It means to kneel. It means to bless and to thank. And it means adoration. So lots of these, there's a whole lots of overlapping in these words when it comes to praise. But as we get into them, you begin to see they have their own expressions. One is thankfulness with raised hands. This one's kind of thankfulness with a bended knee or an adoration. There's a different posture in Barak than there is Yada. Different posture. Tauda also talked about an extended hand, but there's a whole lot more activity or excitement in it. Amen. Can you see that? So this is that progression. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is God, the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Glory to God. Let's now go to Psalm 95. Very similar psalm, meaning that there is this progression in it also. So let's go ahead and start in verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 6, and then we're going to kind of open it up again. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth and the strength of the hills. And it is his also. The sea is his and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. He's amazing. He's God. He's the creator. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our maker. Hallelujah. So, here we go. Verse 1. Verse 1 says, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us sing. This is the word ruah. Once again, ruah. Joyful noise. Joyful noise. Let us sing unto the Lord and let us make a joyful noise. Sing. So this word sing means to sing and shout for joy, to rejoice. Come, let us sing. Rejoice. Sing a joyful song. Hallelujah. And then ruah. A joyful noise. This is that ear-splitting shout of joy and victory, triumph, and we are sounding an alarm that victory is ours and the devil's defeated. So you might as well run because we're coming on through. Amen? You sound the horn in your car when you're coming on through. Get out of my way. Doot, doot, doot. You know, right? We're coming. We're sounding the alarm to the devil. Get out of the way or you're going to get run over. Hallelujah. So, come, let us sing with unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. He is solid. He's our rock of salvation, our rock of deliverance, our rock of preservation, our rock of healing, our rock of victory, our rock of prosperity. He's our rock of salvation. It's who he is. Glory to God. Verse 2, let us come before his presence with singing. Let us come before his presence, with thanksgiving. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. This is Tauda. Thanksgiving. Tauda. Hallelujah. Might as well pull this out here some more. Tauda. Thanksgiving. Adoration. The sacrifice of praise. Once again, the extension of our hands. Glory to God. Thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise. A joyful noise. Once again. Ruah. Again. Twice in two verses. Say, listen, just get loud about it. Get loud about it and excited about it. Loud about it and excited about it. Hallelujah. If people think the church is supposed to be quiet, they're going to be very disturbed when they get to heaven. Heaven is not quiet. There is a whole lot of noise, a whole lot of praise, there's a whole lot of excitement about our great God. And so we ought to get used to it. Amen? The atmosphere of heaven. When we come to church, we ought to have the atmosphere of heaven. Glory to God. So, Tauda, thanksgiving. Ruah, joyful noise. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Verse 6, a new word. O come, let us worship and bow down. This is Shachah. Shachah means to worship, it means to bow down, it means prostrate, it means to fall flat, it means to do reverence. Can you see how this is totally different than all the rest? All the rest, there's excitement, there's loudness, there's uplifted hands, there is rejoicing and jumping and spinning, and this one is worship, it's bow down, it's prostrate, it's falling flat, it's doing reverence, it's not as active, it's not as loud. There's something different about this word. There's something different. You notice this is not the word that the chapters start with. There is this progression. There is this progression. So we see here, let us worship and bow down. Shachah. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. The word kneel is the word barak. It means to kneel or to bless God. So come, bow down this bended knee, this prostrate, this falling flat, this, and then barak, this kneeling. So there is this the blessing the Lord. And remember, barak also, adoration, hallelujah. So the process or the progression is this loud victory shouts, this thankful rejoicing, and what does it do? It leads to worship on bended knee and blessing the Lord. And you notice how the lifted hands are in every step. This lifting of the hands, hallelujah. So this is the progression, the progression. So that's why we start. We start with more up-tempo songs. We start with more songs that just get us to thank God. We're not worshiping Him, or we're not bowing down and adoring Him. We're singing songs that get us excited about God, get us to be thankful and excited about who He is and what He's done and what He's doing just excited about Him, celebrating Him. And we're rejoicing, we're dancing, and our hands are moving, and we move to this place of being just more thankful, a little bit more reserved, a little bit more thankful, daring to this place of now adoration and worship. Whether we get down or we prostrate just from a heart perspective, prostrate and we worship You, Lord. We magnify You. We honor You. For You are wonderful. We love You. There's this progression. There's this progression of praise. Let's look at a couple more words before we're done today. Let's go to Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song." A new song. What's a new song? Well, it's a song we haven't seen up here before. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Now, that may be the way it starts. This new song is one that we haven't seen before, but that's not what it means. A new song is the Hebrew word that means fresh. It means to rebuild, renew, and repair. A new song. A new song, which means it's a fresh song. What does that mean? Does it mean that we always have to come up with a new song every time? You know, it can get, you never get to know the song if you only sing it once. So what's a new song? A new song is a fresh song. What does that mean? That means we sing it from our heart every single time. We sing it from our heart every single time. We actually mean what we say every single time. That means it's fresh. When I tell my wife I love her, I mean it every single time because it's fresh. It's fresh. I'm not just, oh yeah, I suppose it's that time I need to tell you I love you. And I'm watching something else. Yeah, I love you too. Whatever. No. It's fresh. It means it's like it's new, but it may be the same song, but it's fresh because we're literally meaning it again. It's coming from our heart. We're actually meaning what we're singing. We're meaning what we're saying. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing Him a fresh song. And this fresh song rebuilds, renews, and repairs. This fresh song, part of this fresh song that we are responding and singing to Him from our heart, it causes a renewal, a refreshing, and a repairing in our lives, our situation, and circumstance. God's on the scene doing what? When we sing a fresh song, a new song, God shows up. God inhabits the praises of His people. And it's this new song. We sing it fresh. This is a new song. We sing, see, We sing a new song and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praises in the congregation of the saints. Praises is the word tehillah. Tehillah. It's this act of praise. It's this boasting. It's this clamorously foolish. It's this rave and celebration and bringing glory to Him. So it's this celebration and this rave. It's this laudation. It's this tehillah praise that just comes fresh every single time from our hearts. Every single time. Every single time. Hallelujah. And that's the kind of praise he inhabits. God inhabits the tehillah of his people. And every time we tehillah sing a new fresh song, he inhabits. We bring him once again. He comes and settles down, sits down. We actually create a seat, an atmosphere, a seat for him to sit down, to relax, to hang out with us. He inhabits the tehillah of his people. Every single time we do it fresh from our heart. And in that presence, in that atmosphere, he rebuilds, he refreshes, and he repairs. Rebuilds, renews, and repairs. Hallelujah. A fresh song. A fresh song. A new song. It means, yeah, it's from the root to rebuild, to renew, and to repair. So this kind of song does something for us. It blesses him and always does something for us. Hallelujah. If you need to be rebuilt, renewed, and repaired, this would be a very big key. This singing a new song to the Lord. Whatever type of praise it is, make sure it's fresh and coming from your heart. It's not just a song off of the screen. It's not just words on a screen. We might be reading them. We might be singing them because we haven't got them memorized. But we're singing. They're coming out of our mouth. And we're meaning every word from our heart. It does something for us. It's good for us. So, you get a song of praise that is new and fresh. You keep it new when you sing it from your heart as if it were the first time. Hallelujah. Singing it as if it was the first time. It may be the 20th time. It may have been the 150th time. But we're singing it as if it's the first time. Because we mean it from our heart. Amen? And it can be a brand new song. Haven't sung it before. Sometimes we can just, as we're praising God, we may get a new song as we're praising him. And all of a sudden, we'll just begin to sing new words and put a new thing together, and it's just new. It's fresh. And if we write it down and remember it, we can sing it again. But does that make it old? Not if we sing it from our heart. Not if we respond to him as if we mean it the second time and the third time. Amen? Hallelujah. And it does something for us. All right, let's go ahead and go to a couple verses down. I want to go ahead and read verse 6. Let the high praises, so here's another one, high praises, but I'm going to read to verse 9. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and a punishment of the people to bind their kings. I'm going to read this out of New King James. Psalm 149, New King James. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud in their beds. Verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment to the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. This is the honor that God has given us. Now, next week we're going to talk about praise as a weapon. And this is going to lead us into that. All right? But I want us to see this. The high praises of God. The high praises of God will position us to where we can begin to bind and we can begin to loose. And we can begin, I'm just going to get this again. We begin to execute vengeance We're not the avengeance person. We are, God is the avenger. Amen? God is the avenger. So, to execute vengeance, punishment, to bind, and to execute on them the written judgment. This is our God-given honor. To sing the high praises, and it begins to shut the enemy down. It begins to shut the enemy down. It begins to hinder the enemy in our life, in our surroundings, in our area, the high praises of God. So again, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. So this would be high praises. What does that mean? The word high praises means to rise. It means to exalt. It means to get oneself up. High praises. It means to lift up self. It means to mount up, and it means exaltation. So the high praises, if we are in a low point, see, that's why the devil, the enemy, is attacking. The enemy is attacking. There's a heaviness. And what do we need? We need to begin to sing the high praises of God and let the word of God be in our mouth, a sword. Let the word of God be in our mouth, the sword of the Spirit. Why? And what does it do? It causes us to rise up. It causes us to get oneself up. We've been beaten down and we feel heavy and burdened, and there's this attack of the enemy. And how do we get free? We sing the high praises of God. We sing the high praises of God, declaring and speaking His word, and it causes us to rise. It causes us to exalt. See, we're exalting Him. We are exaltation. We're exalting Him. And as we're doing this, we're lifting ourselves up. We're stirring ourselves up. We're getting oneself up. We're lifting ourselves up. We are mounting up. Mounting up. See, if the horse is tall enough or if we're short enough, you need a mounting block. You got to mount up. Or else you never get on. Because if we want to get up at this level, we need to mount up. Amen? We need to mount up. How do we do that? With the high praises of God. Mount up. Mount up. Amen? Glory to God. This is how we do it. This is how we get ourselves up. We stir ourselves up. We lift up ourselves. Now, let's close with Isaiah chapter 40, because let's look at this kind of in action. We may have read this verse before, and I expect you'll see it in a new light today as we've talked about praise, because as I was reading this, it's like, oh, you know what? This word is just used over and over and over. So Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord..." They that wait upon the Lord. Now, the word wait doesn't it doesn't mean to stand there. And wait. That's not what it means, all right? The word wait means to expect. It means to bind together. And to look. The word wait means to bind together, to expect, and to look. Let's expect of the Lord. Let's look. They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. They that expect and look to Him. They that bind or entwine themselves to Him. See, this is not just... we're waiting for Him to do something. This is our working together. This is our drawing near to Him, Him drawing near to us. We are joining together with Him. Hallelujah. See, that would be like God inhabits the praises of His people. In other words, if we don't praise, He doesn't inhabit. So if we praise, He inhabits. This is kind of like a working together. We're binding ourselves together. They that wait upon the Lord. What about those? What about those that wait upon the Lord, that bind themselves to Him? they will renew their strength. Boy, that sounds like a new song. That sounds like a new song. To rebuild, renew, and repair. They that wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. Now, the interesting thing about the word strength is it doesn't just mean muscles. It doesn't just mean energy. Literally, the word strength means force, might, power, ability, substance, wealth, capacity, and fruits. Fruitfulness. It's more than just. It's more than just physical strength. There's this ability, there's a substance, there's wealth, there's a capacity. We increase. We will renew our strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. Not just jump up, but there's a mounting up. And the wings as eagles, as they go, it's not like a little bird that goes, you know, seen the ducks. The ducks, when they fly there, they flap a lot. You see them fly, they're flapping a lot. But the eagle, they'll just go, and they are whoosh, whoosh, whoo. Off they go. They mount up with wings as eagles. There is this force. There is this strength. There's this mounting up. There's this taking off. Matter of fact, I had one minister said it this way. To mount up is like a taking off of a mighty fighter jet. They just go, and off they go. They take off. Okay? So, right? They that wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. And they will walk and not faint. They'll not be tired. They'll not be weary. Interesting verse. Now that we see and we kind of read it in the context of even praise. Praise. The different kinds of praise. Hallelujah. 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 So there is the process or this progression of praise that brings about this amazing results in our life. Hallelujah.